We need to be absolutely possessed with the greatness of our destiny. I think we get like Moses. You know, we've been out in the wilderness so long that we don't think that God could use us. And we're approaching 80 years of age, and goodness, how can he use any of us old folks? So, you know, we get this kind of complex that it's over. It's just beginning. The greatness of our destiny is just as much as the greatness of our God. And the limits are limitless. And so I've got a question for you. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, right? How do we get the Lord's kingdom to come? Well, obviously, when he comes again, that will definitely be a kingdom coming show, okay? As far as east is from west, the lights will show, and, you know, the trumpets will sound, and the horses will gallop, and the Lord will be coming, and we'll be caught up in the air. I mean, it'll be a great show. But that's not necessarily all that's implied in that prayer, because the kingdom of God is now. It's not just when he comes, it's now. So the question of it, how can we bring the kingdom of God here, now? All right, that's the question. And I want to take you to a portion of scripture, if you will. And if we have our projectionists, are you good today? Oh, good. Let's hear it for them in faith. All right, praise God. We appreciate them. We want to go to Luke 19, verse 11. And I also want you to greet my mother-in-law. She's visiting with us for a month, and we're having a real good time. She's 39, or as Jack Benny used to... How many of you remember Jack Benny, right? Okay. He was 39 till his death. He died early, didn't he? Okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke. All right, Luke 19. Verse. In fact, you've got it already. I think great. I don't even have to turn there. Good. Jesus was speaking to them about the things of the kingdom. You see, Zacchaeus had come, and Jesus had gone in and had lunch with him, dinner, whatever. And the conviction of the Spirit of God came on Zacchaeus, and he became a changed man. And Jesus said, surely salvation, or the kingdom of God, has come among you. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. How many of us want the kingdom of God to come right now? I mean, you know, Lord, you know, if you're coming again, now would be a good day. Now would be a good time. You know what I mean? You know, just snatch me up. All right? So they thought the kingdom should come immediately. But Jesus shared this parable. Can you go on to the next frame? I'm really trusting in you. You can do this. Thank you. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, hold on. Who would that nobleman be? Jesus, that's right. And he went into a far country, went to heaven to receive for himself a kingdom. King of kings, Lord of lords, all right? How many of you are of a different kingdom? That's right. We are kingdom citizens of another kingdom. We're out of this world. And he was going to return. All right, let's go on. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, nowadays that would be 20 bucks. For those of you who know conversions, the English pound is 2 to 1. It's scary. Never mind. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. Aha. What does the Lord want us to do while we're waiting for him to return? Occupy. Doesn't mean just to take up space. It means to be busy. You know, a servant is serving, okay, he's involved. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to... All right. And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. All right. Then came the first Satan. Oh, I like this. This is good for the visually challenged. All right. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. All right. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou have authority over 10 cities. That's interesting. He's changing money that was multiplied into cities. I remember when we first came here, we said, oh, Lord, give us the city. Lord, give us the city. In fact, we even put a song on a float about that whole thing about us taking the city. Who owns the city? Does anybody know? I mean, Jesus does. Do you know he owns all the kingdoms of the earth? He owns all the nations? He said in Psalm 2, he said, ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. In other words, he owns it. And he's saying, listen, I have Wellsboro. I own it. The devil doesn't own it. I took it back. I have the keys of hell and death. I own Wellsboro. And I want to give it to you when you grow up enough to move in the spiritual anointing necessary to take authority in the spirit over the city. He is waiting for the church to rise up to their place where he can give us this city. Do we have it yet? Uh-uh. Look around you. We're still in the process of reaching for something that the Lord wants to give us. But let me ask you, what activates the kingdom of God? You have one fella who's given 1 pound, and he multiplies it into 10 pounds. So what brings the kingdom of God now? Faithfulness with what you have been given. That's the whole thing about this parable. If we're faithful for what the Lord has given us, Dave was talking about the gifts that were coming out of folks as they were serving. That's how it works. You give what you have, God gives you more, the kingdom of God comes closer. Is it immediate? Is it overnight? No, it's a process. Line upon line, precept upon precept. That's why he gave this parable. He says, I'm going away, but I want you to be busy while I'm away. And as you do, and you're faithful, I will increase you to the point where you will take authority over cities. And he uses natural things to release us into spiritual anointings. Isn't that amazing? Natural things like helping out at his Thousand Hills. You know, doing what you can. Giving the gifts that you have and allowing the Lord to just take you into the next realm of authority. We are going from grace to grace, place to place, faith to faith. Okay? We're in a process. This parable goes on to say that there was one who had gained five, and he was commended. And then there was one who did not understand the one whom he was serving. And he says, I was afraid of you. Yesterday, at our men's meeting, which was absolutely amazing, Richard not only cooked the food, but he prepared a spiritual table. And we looked at James 1:17, which says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. It comes down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variable or shadow of turning. Okay, that's pretty close. Ooh, keep me honest. All right. So the point of it all is God's a good God. He's a good God. Now, this guy did not understand the Lord, and as a result, his faith level was actually canceling him out, and as a result, he didn't move into any anointing. In fact, he instead of commendation, he received condemnation. So the point of it all is faithfulness with what we have releases us into the kingdom and brings the kingdom anointing in our midst and gives us the power to influence the city, whereby the Lord one day will say, I'm giving you Wellsboro. And then after that, I'm going to give you Tioga County. And then I'm going to give you Pennsylvania. And then I'm going to give you the nations of the earth. Ask of me. Ask of me. But it's not immediate. It's a process. Oh, I'd love it if we could run down to the altar and have Benny Hinn lay his hands on me. Boom, instant anointing. Now everybody I pray for is instantly healed. Doesn't work that way. Wish it did. Sometimes you have a situation where a person is sovereignly anointed of God. We have heard of a situation where a young fellow, I was just like 19 years of age, had an angelic visitation, and he came away glowing, one of those things. And that night, he was just sitting up on the stage, and people were falling down under the power and getting healed. He is now going around the country with a healing anointing. We're hoping to get him here. The guy literally glows. And, you know, it just has this amazing anointing. It's just a gift of God. But it doesn't often happen that way, does it? It's a matter of pressing against resistance and developing spiritual muscles. But if we understand what it means to occupy until he comes, we understand what we're supposed to be doing. Now, let's just take a look at some different things, some different dynamics of how our response determines the manifestation of what God will do. For instance, you remember back before Acts chapter 2 happened, in Luke 24:49, Jesus spoke to the disciples after he had breathed on them, just like he breathed on Adam, the breath of salvation. He said, you are now walking in the salvation of the Holy Spirit. You are now redeemed mankind. You're born again. You're adopted in the family of God. But wait, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power on high, which in the language of the street is don't leave town without it. That's coming. Don't leave town without it. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? And in Acts chapter 2, after 10 days of contending in prayer, boom, it came. All right? Now, the point of it all is, how does the baptism of the Holy Spirit come to us? Contending in prayer. You got to press into that thing. It's a gift of God. You don't have to do anything to earn it. But sometimes there's resistance. You know, it's like the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent have to take it by force. There's a battle that ensues. The devil knows that if you come into this, you'll be dangerous. When you're saved, it's like you're walking around with, you know, a gun belt. But when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he gives you bullets in it and a gun that goes in the holster. I mean, it's like, now you're dangerous, all right? You can do something for God in a whole new level. And so you got to contend for it like they did in prayer. Well, let's take another example. The joy of the Lord is our strength. All right, how do you get joy? You rejoice. I don't feel like it. You do it anyway. All right, that's how the kingdom of God comes. You press in before the breakthrough because the missing element that is the catalyst that makes it all work is faith. It takes faith to rejoice before the breakthrough. But that element of faith in the process of doing it, that's why we do what we do in a Sunday morning. We are expecting to go to another level by coming before the Lord and just waiting on Him and worshiping Him and loving Him and praising Him and rejoicing in His presence. It is okay to lift your hands. It is okay to clap. It is okay to dance. All right? But you feel so not like Him doing that. But the way of the kingdom is you contend for the promise before the breakthrough and you rejoice. And it comes. All right, is this rocket science? Of course not. We got this. All right, what else can we look at? Well, how about miracles? This gets interesting. Turn with me to John 6 and 26. Oh, before we do that, we need to go to Isaiah 28, verse 10. Maybe you can help me over there. Or I guess not. Or are you going to help me? See if I get you there before. See if we can beat the projectionist. Nope, he's too fast. All right. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's how we move forward into the kingdom anointing. We grow in it by leaning into God, doing the things that aren't natural. Go on. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. This is back in Isaiah's time. What's he referring to? That's a prophecy referring to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where people will speak with tongues. Go on. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Now they would not hear, but we have an opportunity to realize the kingdom of God is here. There were disciples who were in an upper room, 120 of them, who contended in prayer, and the baptism came, and it's poured out. All we have to do is receive it. We are the beneficiary of their labors. And so the Bible says there's a rest for the people of God. But it says labor to enter into the rest. How? Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. We grow in the anointing by being faithful in what we've been given and releasing it. Now it comes to miracles. Now we can go to John 6 and 26. Jesus answered them. Now, you know the situation. The multitudes flocked to Jesus, and he fed them with bread that was multiplied through the hands of the disciples. And he fed the 5,000, which was more than that. And he says to them, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Let's go on to the next one. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. You sought me not for the miracles, but for the bread, so that you could be satisfied. And the spirit of conviction comes over me when I think about the mandate that we as a church in Wellsboro have upon us to move in the same dimension of mandate that the disciples had, which was to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, and take the city. And yet we can be like these people who you know, we get a healing and we're content. We get our needs met and we're satisfied with the dimension that we have in God. We don't press in. We're not hungry for more. We don't contend for the higher promise of moving into the miraculous ourselves. We've received, somebody prayed for us. We went to a healing meeting and we received from God. We got that everlasting bread and now we come back satisfied. God help us. God help us. God help us. Because we're missing the mark for which we've been destined. You see, we've got to be absolutely possessed with the fact that we've been called to such a destiny. It's above and beyond what we could ask or think. We settle for so little of God. And the Lord is yet calling us higher. And he's saying, press in, lean into me. How, Lord? Just be faithful with what I've given you, and I will give you more. How does it work? When there is the sick among us, we encourage you to come on down and give us the opportunity to practice on you. Because the only way we're going to grow in the anointing is to give it away, is to pray for the sick. And we have a situation where we have several people right now in this congregation who are battling congenital problems, situations that have been long-term. We have a couple families who are not here, probably because they've been hit once again. And I believe that the Lord has placed these situations in our midst to put a divine pressure on us to begin to contend for them, that they receive a supernatural touch from God through us as we gather together and release our faith together and believe God to move in the miraculous in this place in Wellsboro, because it's all about taking the city. It's all about moving into our inheritance. And the enemy would say, no, no, just sing your songs, you know, preach your messages, and go home unchanged. Just stay the way you are. Realize that you're getting older. You don't have the strength you used to have. You don't have quite the energy that you used to have. And who can use you After all, this is America where only the young have the opportunities. The older passed away, right? You try to get a job. When you're over 50, they look at you and they say, well, you know, that's not going to happen. So you start your own job. Hallelujah. You just make your own way and you believe God. But the point of it all is that's not how it is in the kingdom. Moses was just getting going at 80. Went to 120 and he still didn't die. They just got snatched up. So, I mean, you know, we just have to have the sense that God wants to do so much more in us and through us. Let's not limit him. Let's not be like those who are satisfied with a little bit of bread, the natural. Let's contend for our inheritance, which, by the way, let's just take a look at. It's Matthew 10 and 8. This is our mandate. This is where it's got to go. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. That's our mandate. Now, if he gives us that, won't he anoint us and appoint us and equip us? Won't he cause us to triumph? Yes, thank you, Raymond. All right, praise God. Now, Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. We pray for somebody, they die. We get discouraged. We think, oh no, I'm an accident looking for a place to happen. And everybody runs when they see you laying hands on anybody. You just keep pressing in, you know. You pray for the cat or the dog or something. You know, no, I'm just kidding. The point of it all is, you know, you just got to keep pressing in. Don't get caught up with what God is not doing. Get caught up with what God is doing. Isn't that what he said to John the Baptist? John the Baptist was discouraged because of what God wasn't doing. I mean, the guy was in jail. You know, things weren't working out too well for him. You know, Herod was after his head. At least Herodias was. And Jesus comes back and he says, tell John that the sick are healed, the lame walk, the blind see. And blessed is he that's not offended in me. Don't get offended in what you expect God to be doing that he's not doing. Just whatever he is doing, be thankful in that. Use that as a testimony to encourage yourself to keep pressing in for more. We need to be people who hear what we're supposed to do and be faithful in what we have. And if it doesn't work, well, we just do it again. I share over and over again how when Richard had his back problem that time, we prayed for him, he got worse. It was just more sore, but he kept coming down for prayer. And one night, just like any other night, it just took. And we saw a miracle before our eyes. Within 2 hours, he was completely and totally straightened out. And we heard the bones cracking during the service. I had to preach extra loud. You were just carrying on so much over there. And you weren't saying anything. It was just God working you. And it's just Holy Ghost meeting. It's like, whoa. Now, the thing is, once you take that kind of ground, it's yours. Remember, he said I believe it was Abraham, he says, wherever you stepped and taken that ground, it's yours. We've seen miraculous healings. We have this territory. We have this ground. But somehow, you know, we've hit a time where it just seems to be a little dry. You know, we're praying for miracles. What do? We all get sick. And we're all like, oh man, what is going on? It's not working. That's working. But God's working something in us. It's like exercise, you know. You're working those muscles and you're resisting and that's gaining greater strength. So we are positioning ourselves to move into the miraculous. But we have to contend for this. We have to really want this. There's going to be everything that the enemy has in his arsenal to try to discourage us and make our hearts sick. Our hope is deferred. You know, one more time we go up, we get prayed for. One more time it doesn't work. But the Word of God says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Anoint with oil. Pray the prayer of faith. It doesn't say stop. It says keep on keeping on. And so that's what we're going to do. So I'm done with the message. That's it. That's all I got. That's all the corn on the cob. Now what we're going to do is I want some of you people down here, I know you for one, we want you down here. I want to practice on you. And I want all of you who'd like to practice on John, come on down. We're going to just sort of, let's get some musicians up, which we have very few of right now. I guess that's about you, Kim. And then if you need some prayer, you could switch and I'll go up or something. But listen, My dream is that this isn't just through the pastor. This has got to be through the congregation, moving out into the marketplace. Remember that testimony of the guy on the airplane? I mean, he's just, you know, he wants to read this book, and the Lord comes into the plane, and all of a sudden, folks are getting healed left and right. And the stewardess gets on the plane and said, if anybody would like to be healed, there's somebody between the first class and second class who would pray for you, and, you know, just walk over the bodies. They're not dead. They're just being healed. It's okay. Everything's fine. This is not a hijacking. This is a Holy Ghost meeting. All right. Stewardess over the, I mean, just amazing. So it's the type of thing where, that kind of thing, working through God's people. And so where does it happen? Well, we practice here. And then we take what we have out there and reveal who Jesus is to people who don't believe he's real, that he's alive today. So we've got John here. I know we've got some others. We need somebody to stand in proxy for Jerry, because Jerry's been fighting a long-term situation with his back. And I know there's several of you who are experiencing back pain. I know Dave Moore, you've got some, you were in a car accident just recently and aggravated an old injury. We want to pray for that. Come on. I know we prayed as men yesterday, but unless you are taking that vest off and doing deep knee bends, you come on up here. We want to believe God for you. We want to practice on you. But understand where we are going as a church. We've got to not be just content with the natural bread, that we made it through another week. He took care of my finances. He healed my body. He took care of me. It's got to be something more than that. It's got to be the fact that I am destined to have the miraculous flow through me, that I am destined to move in realms above and beyond what I can ask or think. But I'm just contending for the promises of God to happen in this church. I've shared with you, I would like to see that this become a no-flu zone by next year. By next year, anyone who walks in through those doors is just immediately got by the Holy Ghost, and they walk out breathing fine, all right? Now, that's not quite happening yet, but we're contending for that. We're going somewhere. Our prayers are going somewhere. Our declarations are going somewhere. And could I say this? I'm going to anyway. If you don't declare, nothing's going to happen. If you don't pray, nothing's going to happen. If you don't say to that mountain, be thou removed, it's just going to stay there. You know, it's got to be something verbal that you do. That's why when I close the meetings, I declare over you the blessing of the Lord. I really believe this is what the Lord is trying to impart to us as a lifestyle. You've got something. Good for you. I love interaction. Praise God. You can just... Oh, let's get... Oh, can't help. This is a regular guy. Okay. Should I turn mine off? You okay?
I was giving me at the end of worship, and it goes right along with what you were sharing. The Lord wants you to know that He does not want you to shortchange yourself. What I have for you, you have to go after. Your pastors can only take you so far. Be challenged and ask me to open your understanding of me through whatever means I present. He's presenting us a chance to pray and to believe. On purpose, open yourself up to meditate on my word, digest it. That means on purpose, seek out what I want you to receive from it. Sing songs about me. Then take the words and break them up so that you know what it means. Sing them again from your innards. I know when you're giving me lip service and when your heart is involved. You don't want to be gifted to do, you don't have to be gifted to do this. The beauty is found in your heart expression. I love you, and I have much more than you have acquired for those who put themselves out for me. Don't shortchange yourself, says the Lord. There is much that will be accomplished as you put effort forth to find and know me on purpose. I will take your efforts and multiply them beyond your boundaries.
Whoa. When did you get that?
As I was speaking.
Okay.
Well, at the end of the...
Okay.
And as you were speaking.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you. Praise God. All right. There you go. Let everything be established. David, come on up. By two or more witnesses. Look at this. Come on. We've got to actually realize that God loves us and He wants to speak to us. He really wants to encourage us.
And this is a wonderful time to be encouraged. And we want the miraculous. We want to contend for God.
I just say that I wish this worked continually and powerfully in my life, but I wish I took it to heart every moment. However, at the very least, James, the scripture that Richard used yesterday, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. When Pastor talked about basically a continual flow of the miraculous, we have the continual flow of the miraculous every moment you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
If you take that scripture and take it down to the minutiae and reverse it, if you're alive, if you took a breath, if you have a heartbeat, if there was nerve impulses, the synapses are working correctly, you just got a direct miracle from the hand of God, because there is no life except by God. So in that sense, every moment we live in the miraculous, every moment we live at the very extension of the hand and the love of God. So we live in the miraculous already. Where can we allow that to take us? How far can we allow that to take us? I think that's the bigger question.
Right.
So we're already working in that flow. Where are we going to let God take us with that? So every moment we're being blessed by the miraculous hand of God.
Yes. Yes, God. Why don't you stay up here, because we'd like to pray for you. I like the fact that Jesus said, I've come to give you life, which is what he was saying, which is a miracle, but life abundantly. That's what I'm contending for. I want to go to the other side of the comma and go into where it really gets fun, where you go to Walmart and it turns to be church service. And what's so cool is you have the checkout lady getting on the intercom and saying, there's a healing service. John's down here. Or this guy, this white-haired guy who looks like Moses, is down here in aisle one, and anyone he prays for is getting healed. So just come on down if you want a healing, line one, this sort of stuff. I mean, this is happening in other parts of the country. I want it to happen here. That's taking the city. That's rising up to that anointing where the Lord says, I will give you because you've been faithful. I'm releasing a greater anointing as a church, as a people of God. Rising up and taking our